Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It's Sunday night, and we have Sam Darnold's new contract details. This is a point of interest for all 49ers fans who like following QB finances, and you should be becoming an expert this offseason because Brock Purdy will sign a new deal with the 49ers at some point. Might be a record. Will definitely be up there near the top of the market, and knowing the dynamics of these quarterback deals, especially in the given off season of that contract, is going to be very, very relevant. Sam Darnold negotiated a new contract with the Seattle Seahawks, and it's very important to say that Sam Darnold is not on the same performance tier as Brock Purdy. Darnold obviously had a good regular season, but I think he finished ranked number 14 in QBR. Obviously, the blemish was at the very end. The final regular season game against the Detroit Lions, and then the playoff game against the Rams, where he was really bad. And this came on the heels of a poor start to his career, a rehab year with the 49ers in 2023. So the market is still uncertain of Sam Darnold, but they recognize his ceiling. Well, the deal with the Seattle Seahawks reflected that. Let's take a look at this structure, because I can tell you that the 49ers are not going to get anything near as team-friendly for Brock Purdy as the Seahawks were able to get with Sam Darnold. It's essentially 3 years, $100 million, I think $100.5 million, but it's a Baker Mayfield size of contract at about $33 million per year. And what we have here is guaranteed money only in one season for Sam Darnold, the 2025 season. He's being paid $37.5 million in base salary for 2025. And then after that, nothing is guaranteed, as you can see in this column, the middle column right here. Nothing guaranteed in 2026, nothing guaranteed in 2027. This is a very simple contract that the Seahawks can exit out of. The one trigger date in the contract is on February 25th, which is a few days, February 15th, 2026, which is a few days after the Super Bowl this coming season, where about, I think, $15 to $17 million of Sam Darnold's $27.5 million base salary becomes guaranteed. So if the Seahawks don't want to keep him beyond the 2025 season, they're just going to have to release him before that February date in 2026, and then they will owe nothing in the remaining contract, 2026 and 2027. They will also be able to eject in 2027 whenever they'd like. There is no trigger date that year. For veterans, the base salary, if there's no trigger date earlier, becomes guaranteed before week one for the regular season. So the Seahawks would have all off season with Sam Darnold turning 30 years old to figure out what to do in 2027. Anyway, this is what a deal that is very favorable to a team looks like. And you see a lot of these in the NFL. It is a team favorable league when it comes to contracts. The Seahawks have 3 years of team control. So 2025, 2026, and 2027. But they're only having to pay 1 year of guaranteed money. So Sam Darnold, if he decided tomorrow that he's changed his mind, he wants to leave, well, he'll probably have to wait until 2027 or 2028. But of course, the Seahawks can move on sooner. So I talked about this with the potential Purdy structure and numbers, and I invoked the Patrick Mahomes model, which, to be honest, you know, it was surprising to see when Patrick Mahomes signed for 10 years with the Kansas City Chiefs a few years ago. There are only about 2 years of guaranteed money in that contract when he signed. It was a big bet on himself because he gave away all these years of team control, a deal that was unprecedented in terms of length in the modern NFL, gives away all these years of team control for only so much guaranteed money. It's not like one of these baseball deals where the guy signs for 14 years and everything is guaranteed. In football, this is the norm, the NFL norm. Now, a lot of contracts now for star players are starting to see guarantees leak out into the third year Nick Bosa was a great example. Maybe Brock Purdy is going to be an example of that as well. He's obviously going to be negotiating on a higher performance plane than Sam Darnold. But your run-of-the-mill NFL contract looks like this. Without any bonus prorations, this is just a standard NFL team-friendly contract. And it's Sam Darnold's with guaranteed money in the first year and nothing beyond that. Now, the performance profile of Sam Darnold makes this contract make sense. He's shown you upward mobility and potential. There's a chance that that upward pathway for Sam Darnold, that journey of improvement, has not yet ended. In fact, he's only going to be 28 years old this season. So I think there's still a lot of meat on the bone for Sam Darnold. So he has shown you the positive upside, but he's also shown you a lot of dangerous negative downside. And the last thing that people remember is the final two games from the 2024 season. So the Seattle Seahawks and, you know, whoever was pursuing Sam Darnold, I heard that the market wasn't all that hot for him this offseason because of those final two games. I think it scared some teams away, but whoever was going to agree to a contract with Sam Darnold was going to have to find a way to account for those risks, account for the downside, and also account for the upside, which definitely was there in the contract. And I think that Seattle has definitely found that. 3 years, only one of them guaranteed. Seahawks have essentially two team options in 2026 and 2027. Now, in the 49ers case, that's not going to fly for Brock Purdy. I think this is obvious. We look at the caliber of player that Brock Purdy has been. His lowest QBR has been much higher than Sam Darnold's highest QBR ranking. Like this past year, Purdy finished number 7 in QBR. Darnold, again, was in the teens or maybe even down at number 14. I forgot exactly where, but it was right in the middle of the pack, and that's including the 14 wins that the Minnesota Vikings had. So Purdy's range is number 1 QBR in 2023 to number 7 QBR in 2024, his best to his worst, whereas Sam Darnold was a guy that was at the very, very bottom of the league over his time with the New York Jets. Might have improved slightly over, especially over the 6 games in 2022 with Carolina. That was a nice stretch, and that really set the table for his backup season behind Purdy in 2023. And then he played much better above average football for the Minnesota Vikings until he didn't over those final two games. So the performance profiles of both of these quarterbacks are very different. And because Purdy's has been so damn good, he's got the highest passer rating of any quarterback through his first 3 years. I believe the QBR is the highest ever too, although that stat is proprietary and it doesn't go back as far. The efficiency through 3 years for Brock Purdy has also topped the league. I mean, all these superlatives are what he's bringing to this contract discussion with the 49ers. So no matter how much noise there is out there, he is standing on a lot of these performance-based facts. And that simply means that his contract is going to be negotiated, is being negotiated on a higher plane than Sam Darnold's, which came out to 3 years, about $100 million, and that first year full guarantee of $37.5 million. Now, it was a week ago at this time that Josh Allen signed his contract extension with the Bills. And you'll probably remember me talking about it, and it's worth mentioning again. That was really, really good news for everybody involved in the quarterback market, whether it be for quarterbacks, whether it be for teams, agents, or people who like to write about the QB market, people who like to talk about the QB market. I thought that it was awesome last week that Josh Allen signed a deal that didn't top the list in APY. Maybe agents won't like that because they love parading around the APY number. Some players really care about APY. That's average per year. Remember, Trent Williams negotiated an extra $10,000 into his mega deal, which was worth over, I believe, worth over $100 million in 2021. He negotiated an extra 10 grand in there just so he could edge out David Bakhtiari for the top paid tackle of all time. And then David Bakhtiari tweeted that Trent Williams was being really petty, which he was. I saw David Bakhtiari out here in the Nashville area. He lives out here in the Franklin area. Saw him a couple weeks ago. He's a Bay Area native, went to Sarah High School. They've got their wall. I never actually been to Junipero Serra High School in San Mateo, but if somebody can confirm that they've got a wall of professional athletes there, please do confirm that in the chat section. Mike will keep an eye out for it, because this is the high school that saw Tom Brady graduate, saw Barry Bonds graduate, saw Lynn Swan graduate, saw David Bakhtiari graduate. I mean, top tier. I don't know if there is a more epic collection. I mean, they literally had Bonds and Brady in the same high school, and they're just getting started. David Bakhtiari, former All-Pro as well. Anyway, he's out in Tennessee now, but Trent Williams' contract edged his out, and a lot of people seem to care about that APY from the player perspective and from the agent perspective. And it had turned into this ridiculous kind of one-upping war, right? Where every single quarterback contract was more valuable than the previous one in terms of APY, average per year, even though that number can be really hollow. I mean, you could tack on Tyreek Hill's deal at the receiver position a few years ago with Miami, might have been the best example. Tacked on this crazy number. It was like a $43 million number on the final year of the deal that was non-guaranteed. I think it was $43.1 million that was specifically put there just so the average of the contract. So this is Darnold's deal, but just imagine if Darnold had just in 2028 tossed on $80 million as a base salary, but it wasn't guaranteed. But what it would do is it would make the average per year bigger just by a fake number. Right? There's no substance behind it. That's what Tyreek Hill's deal did at the receiver position, and he became the first receiver to hit $30 million annually. You saw this kind of stuff happening in all these contracts. Saw a bunch of quarterbacks stack up deals to get to $55 million per year, even though the deals at $55 million per year were all very, very different in actual value. I'm going to open this up, and I think that we can really illustrate this using our friends at Over the Cap. They do a great job. You just have to zoom in on the quarterback contracts section of this. Okay, so check this out. You go average per year. Dak Prescott's at the top with $60 million. The refreshing part about the deal for Josh Allen is that he said, you know what? I don't need to be at $60 million if it's just going to be fake money anyway. Let me settle in at $55 million. I've got enough bragging rights. I'll be tied with Joe Burrow. I'll be tied with Jordan Love. I'll be tied with Tua Tagovailoa. And everybody will be happy. Trevor Lawrence, sorry, $55 million. Tua Tagovailoa is at $53.1 million. But what's staggering to me is that you've got these contracts, and four of them now are at $55 million per year right here. Whereas when you go to the guaranteed money, they're all markedly different in guaranteed money. So, for example, Joe Burrow's got $146.5 million in guaranteed money at 55 per year APY. Jordan Love has only $100.8 million. So he's got $45 million less in guaranteed money, even though his APY is the same. Trevor Lawrence, he's in that ballpark, 142 at 55. And Josh Allen surpassed Joe Burrow at $147 million. So you could obviously tell, and we can rank this by fully guaranteed money. Deshaun Watson's at the top. Nobody cares about that. That's an outlier. But Allen at $147 million fully guaranteed, that was targeting Joe Burrow's $146.5 million fully guaranteed. But it's wild to me that Jordan Love can be ranked number two in APY, but he's way down here when it comes to fully guaranteed money, which matters more. This is Jordan Love's line. I'm highlighting it in blue in case you can't see. It just goes to show you how fake some of this stuff is. So I was pleasantly surprised that Josh Allen chose a deal with full substance instead of the focus on the fluff in APY. And he actually now leads NFL history in total guaranteed money. $250 million above Dak Prescott's $231 million for Josh Allen on the $330 million deal. Anyway, this should restore some normalcy to the QB discussion. I think it should encourage others, since Josh Allen is the MVP, to not fixate as much on the average per year, Maybe we'll shine the light on the total guarantees and then by extension, the full guarantees, which are more important than the total guarantees, because total guarantees are only guaranteed for injury. The full guarantees are guaranteed for skill as well. So those are a bigger protection for players. And I think the conversation will get smarter if we focus on those things instead of the hollow APY. Wow, we got contract news. This is perfect. Right on the show, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins exclusively tell Jordan Schultz that they've agreed to contract extensions with the Cincinnati Bengals. So both of these are coming in at the same time. Are you kidding? Ja'Marr gets 4 years, $161 million with $112 million guaranteed, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. T. Higgins gets 4 years, $115 million, with the first 2 years guaranteed, making him the highest paid wide receiver two in NFL history. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. This is officially an NFL update, and we can mix in some Brandon Ayuk talk into all of this. We can discuss the wide receiver market. We can run some numbers. Mike, if you've got a nice little screenshot for me with some of these details from social media, I'll go ahead and put it up on the screen. But I got the calculator right here. The calculator is the phone. We're going to get quick APY, even though I was just talking about how APY doesn't matter, but people care about APY. So I'll get it. You guys can see how I break down a contract in real time. So Ja'Marr Chase, 161 divided by four is 40.25 million. The highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. So that is a one-up of Myles Garrett, who just signed a new contract with the Browns. Garrett's numbers are not yet here on over the cap, but I could show you the edge rusher market. The top prior to Garrett's deal being there is 35.5 million for Max Crosby. Garrett's at 40 million. So obviously this deal for Ja'Marr Chase was negotiated to top the 40 million of Myles Garrett at 40.25 million. So, and 112 million guaranteed. We can go to the wide receiver position. Open this up on the screen for you guys. And total guarantees are 112. Okay. As you can see here, Justin Jefferson's at the top. 110 million. So you see that Ja'Marr Chase gets 112. The deal was negotiated to edge out Justin Jefferson in total guaranteed money and Myles Garrett in APY. Then we can go to the second deal. So these were given in tandem by the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins gets 4 years, 115 million, with the first 2 years guaranteed. The highest paid wide receiver, too. So they definitely negotiated these in tandem, or at least they synchronized the negotiations. 115 divided by four for T. Higgins is 28.75 million. Remember, Brandon Ayuk last year was 4 years, 120 million. So that was 30 million per year. T. Higgins is at 28.75 million, 5 million under that same term over 4 years. The first 2 years are guaranteed. Brandon Ayuk's deal, essentially the same. The 49ers left that little window, though, with the, I don't know how the Bengals are going to structure this, but the 49ers left a window for a potential trade ahead of the 2025 season. But that might be derailed by the fact that Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL and his MCL. Wild that a wide receiver too is now making 28.75 million. But the Bengals, they're not only taking care of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they're taking care of Joe Burrow. How many weapons does Joe Burrow need? Jeez. That's the kind of criticism that Brock Purdy would get in this situation. But average per year at the receiver room, if we look at, obviously you're going to have number one, Ja'Marr Chase at 40.25. Jefferson is now number two with his $35 million deal. CeeDee Lamb, three at 34. A.J. Brown, four at 32 million. Amon-Ra St. Brown, number five at 30 million. Brandon Ayuk, number six at 30 million. Tyreek Hill, number seven at 30 million. And coming in at number eight, right under Tyreek Hill and Brandon Ayuk, is T. Higgins at $28.75 million. How many weapons does Joe Burrow need? My goodness, I'm being facetious. I think every single quarterback needs and deserves weapons. It is a team sport. But how about the Cincinnati Bengals? They've just given out, over those two contracts, a total of $161 million plus $115 million. Let's do the math. It's $261 million, $276 million. Now, they're not fully committed to all that money because the guarantees don't stretch to the whole deal. They're not the Cleveland Browns. They're not a team giving out fully guaranteed deals to players who haven't even been on a football field in over a year. That was Deshaun Watson. So I think the Bengals are a little bit smarter than that. But this is still a lot of money that they've committed to two wide receivers, and they're allowing their star edge rusher, Trey Hendrickson, to pursue a trade. From what we have heard, the Bengals are being very demanding regarding Trey Hendrickson's asking price, like in their asking price for Trey Hendrickson in terms of draft capital. So a lot of teams aren't really interested in heading that far with Cincinnati. But Hendrickson, once he does get to put pen to paper for a new contract, because he's led the NFL in sacks over the course of the past two seasons, is almost certainly going to be at the top three of the heap in terms of edge rushers. We can go back to that position right now and see exactly where that would be for Trey Hendrickson. The pressure numbers are not as good as Nick Bosa's, or Max Crosby's, or Myles Garrett's, but the sack numbers have been there for Hendrickson. Typically, that happens on a bad defense, and the Bengals haven't been good defensively. You get a chance at a few more sacks, and especially on a team that's just bleeding a lot of yardage through the air, because the other side is going to be throwing the ball more often. So I think that's helped pad Trey Hendrickson's stats to a certain extent, but to lead the NFL in sacks over a two-season stretch is never a joke, and it's definitely going to earn him some money. So Garrett's at 40. Market has just exploded. Max Crosby's at 35.5. Nick Bosa is at $34 million. That's now number three. I would think that Trey Hendrickson comes in right around the Bosa number, maybe a little bit lower in terms of APY. There's a gap in between Bosa and Josh Hines Allen, $34 million, $28.2 million after that. What we're seeing here, and this is going to relate to Brock Purdy's new deal as we compare it to Sam Darnold's, the NFL salary cap has increased 24.1% over just two seasons. It increased 9.3 or 9.4% from 2024 to 2025. But if you go back to the 2023 level, and that's where a lot of these top players signed their deals when we're looking at the top of the list. I mean, Bosa signed his deal in 2023. When Bosa went for $170 million and $34 million per year, and that deal was far and ahead of anybody else's outside the quarterback position, the salary cap was 24.1% lower than it is today. So this is tied to NFL revenue. So the more money that the league brings in through its international push, through streaming services, I mean, that's the gist of the money in the NFL. You're able to more efficiently measure where your product is being watched, which allows you to charge more for advertising through YouTube TV and all that stuff. They're much more focused. They're laser focused with the advertising now. It's not just this one size fits all approach. Advertisers can now directly target the consumer that they want to target that's watching the NFL. So the NFL's brand and product has become more valuable because of it, because of that. And then, you know, the whole Taylor Swift effect, let's be honest, that's bringing in a whole new subset of fans into the NFL. That has caused revenues to explode. And the salary cap, based on the collective bargaining agreement, is tied to revenue. So 24.1% in 2 years. And what you're seeing is all these contracts try to take advantage of that. That's why you've seen, you know, Bosa's deal was for two seasons there, was at the very top of the heap for defensive players. Now it just hadn't just been edged by Max Crosby at $35.5 million. It's been blown away by Myles Garrett at $40 million. Now, a lot of this is the Browns the Browns bidding against themselves, which they are wont to do. The Browns did that in the past with Deshaun Watson, so maybe we can't take that all that seriously. But in the receiver market, we just saw with the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase surpassing Myles Garrett's deal for highest paid non-quarterback. And T. Higgins, the wide receiver two, now paid at a level that would have been number one for wide receiver ones 4 years ago. I mean, this is the exploding salary cap having its impact on all of these new contracts. And I can say for certainty too, just because I do talk to agents and I do talk to, you know, just people who are involved in these contract processes. And I always have questions because I want to know what matters in negotiations and what doesn't matter. And something that commonly is brought up in negotiations is, okay, what percentage of the current year's salary cap is the APY, the average per year of any given deal? So before they sign, seal, and deliver a deal, they're going to cross-check it with the salary cap, because the salary cap is rising. If there's inflation on the salary cap part, then there's going to be, in theory, commensurate inflation with the APY of the contract. So this is really fascinating in terms of Brock Purdy's contract. We go back to the quarterback position here on over the cap. Because when you look at average per year, Joe Burrow at 55, Josh Allen at 55, Jordan Love at 55, Trevor Lawrence at 55, Tua Tagovailoa at 53.1. These contracts were signed in various different years. Dak Prescott at 60. Dax was in 2024. I believe Joe Burrow's was in 2023. It was the same year that Nick Bosa signed his contract. And Josh Allen's was in 2025. So the salary cap was in a very different spot for all three of these contracts. It's at $279.2 million right now. So that was the percentage denominator for the Josh Allen deal. But the percentage denominator for Joe Burrow's contract was like $228.8 million. So his contract was a much larger percentage of the salary cap. Dak Prescott's, meanwhile, was $60 million divided by, I think, $255.4 million last year, if I remember correctly. So you could definitely tell that the size of the rising cap has affected these edge rusher contracts and receiver contracts. The latest one at the quarterback position, Josh Allen, because he's decided to settle for the $55 million per year on the surface, even though the cap is 24% higher than when Joe Burrow signed for $55 million per year. That to me is really, really interesting. Is that a sign that the quarterback market is going to cap? Intended, is going to cap, not salary cap. Is that a sign, though, that the quarterback market's going to slow down, that we found some sort of equilibrium, that, you know, maybe the guarantees are going to strengthen to reflect the importance of the quarterback position, but maybe this runaway APY train is finally going to slow down? I don't know. I mean, it's just my observation that we now have this logjam of guys at $55 million, four of them under Dak Prescott at $60 million. Obviously, the next deal that can potentially challenge those is Brock Purdy's, because it's definitely going to fall into that top range, right? I don't know exactly where it will fall, because it's going to depend on what's important to Purdy. If whatever is important to him is also important to the 49ers to win on, then that could be a clashing point in the contract. But I think that Allen has shown us that there are multiple ways, multiple different paths toward reaching an agreement. And APY is not the only one. Total guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money is also viable to reach a good contract agreement. If you take a look at fully guaranteed money, the quarterback position, again, Deshaun Watson, nobody cares about that contract. It was so bad that no other team has decided to even notice it when they're negotiating deals with their quarterbacks. Everything else, you can just tell it's on a completely different plane than everything else in terms of fully guaranteed money, 230. Everything else is in a world of its own. And we're slowly working our way up toward that number. But we just moved up from 146.5 for Joe Burrow to 147 for Josh Allen in terms of fully guaranteed money. Do I think that Brock Purdy's fully guaranteed money will surpass both of those guys? I don't think so. I think that Allen with his MVP and Joe Burrow with a resume that's actually about comparable with Brock Purdy's in terms of the playoffs. He might have one more playoff win. I think Burrow has five. He's obviously been around the league a little bit longer. I think that these two guys have argument to have more fully guaranteed money than Brock Purdy. But Purdy definitely has an argument to have more fully guaranteed money than Trevor Lawrence, who's at $142 million. Plus, there's been salary cap inflation since Lawrence signed his deal a couple years ago. So I would look at the happy zone for Purdy fully guaranteed money to be somewhere between 142 and 146, definitely in the 140s based on where the market is going. He's more accomplished than Justin Herbert, who's at $133.7 million. He's more accomplished in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson, who's at $135 million. He's more accomplished than Dak Prescott, who's at $129 million. He's definitely more accomplished than Jared Goff, who's at $113 million. Jalen Hurts is interesting because his deal's almost outdated at this point. He's won a Super Bowl, $51 million per year, $110 million fully guaranteed money. But now we're in the stretch of deals that are definitely going to be less valuable than Brock Purdy's. So I am intrigued. Color me intrigued because I just love the fact that we can focus more on the guarantees because they mean a lot more than APY. And we could thank the 559 guy, Josh Allen, for that. All right, busy night in the NFL with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins signing simultaneously. I have to fill out a March Madness bracket right now. Guys, who should I pick? I don't follow college basketball, but I'm being requested to fill out a bracket. I just got a message. Is there anybody that I should look out for as a dark horse? That's my question to you. I'm ready for your questions to me. Chris asks, when are OTAs? They are in May. Yes. Josh Allen is on it's his third contract, technically. Oh, what's relevant about that? I mean, he still negotiated the contract. He still wanted to be at the top of the market, and he did get to the top of the market in one of the categories. The only thing that changes is the bottom line of his bank account, which, you know, I'm not going to worry all too much about. He's got plenty of career earnings, but I'm just talking about the top of the market. And quarterbacks who are coming off of MVP seasons have very high levels of leverage. And Josh Allen definitely in that position. And he was able to take that into a new deal that worked for him and for the Bills. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Tommy, did I get your super chat? Tommy says, I'm not going to put that up there, Tommy. Thanks for your super chat, but you're speaking poorly of Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's a good guy. I'm not going to put that up on the screen. I think that he is fighting to improve just like we all are. And what he's done already in the NFL is more impressive than most people will do in the NFL. This is a really, really hard league. And the adversity that Sam bounced back from early in his career, he can hang his hat on that. And I don't think that he's done improving either. I think that Sam still has some good times ahead of him. I mean, he's still well under 30 years old. What percentage of stadium food and concessions is the cap? Is it less each year? Seems that streaming licensing is getting a bigger piece of the pie. Yeah, I mean, because you can grow the streaming revenue at a much more aggressive rate than you can grow how much food you sell in the stadium. Your hot dog sales are going to stay relatively consistent year over year. Where the NFL is getting more efficient is its distribution now, not just to the US, but across the whole world. And the efficiency of the distribution itself, the streaming, is actually a big, big moneymaker for the league. You mean stadium fill? Yeah. Well, same point. The stadiums are 70,000 people big, and they were 70,000 people big 20 years ago. So that variable is going to be relatively consistent. It's the streaming and the TV audience that is changing year over year. Yes, you can grow streaming outside the USA. The pie can get bigger there. All right, guys, it's Sunday night. I've been working hard and I have to go finish something up. We got something big dropping tomorrow morning on the San Francisco Standard. And I'm actually going to go wrap that up right now. It's about the 49ers. It's about their team construction. And we'll also have a video coming out in the morning that you can enjoy looking at the 49ers and the model, the blueprint for how they are going to operate moving forward through the rest of free agency and the NFL draft. So stay tuned. Thanks for watching. Hit that subscribe button. It helps us out a lot. Hit the like button. It's been a good weekend. Let's have a great week.